Blog Talk Radio.
I've been quiet for way too long. I can't fight it. No, no more. Got a story, and it's time to tell. 'Cause I just can't keep it to myself. Somebody give me your microphone or a megaphone or a telephone.
Welcome to the Seasons of Purpose broadcast, a ministry of New Season Church International. Ecclesiastes 3:1 states, "To everything there is a season and a time to every purpose under the heaven." We are your hosts, Pastors Jasper and Constance Whitehurst. Thank you for tuning in. And now let's begin our study in the all-sustaining Word of God.
Hallelujah. It's a new season. It's a new day. Yeah, resting on you. I can feel it. It's flowing my way. Oh, oh, oh. It's a season of power and prosperity. It's a new season, and it's coming to me. Or if you believe that, lift your hands and say,
it's a new season.
It's a new day.
Amen. Praise God. Good evening, everyone, and welcome again to the Seasons of Purpose radio broadcast. We are your hosts, Pastors Jasper and Constance Whitehurst, and we are so excited about having you to tune in to our program tonight. We thank God for each of you that have taken time out of your evening to be able to tune in to our broadcast. We give God, first of all the praise and all the honor and all the glory, because it is because of our Lord, our Savior Jesus Christ, our Heavenly Father, that we're doing what we do. We want to take the time to be able to delve into the study of God's all-powerful, all-sustaining Word, and we thank you for you joining us tonight in this study. Well, praise God, tonight we have a woman of God that will be coming and sharing with us on what some may feel as a controversial topic, and that is Elder Lucy Heath, author, speaker, Elder Lucy Heath, and she's talking to us tonight on a topic entitled Using Social Media to Share Our Grief. Are we saying the godly thing? And there are many that churches, there are many Christian programs that kind of stay away from this particular topic. However, we want to make sure the Word of God tells us that my people, they perish for a lack of knowledge, but we want to make sure that our audience is well informed, that you know that the Word of God has something to say about every part of your life. And also, too, we know that we are not living to die, but we are living, praise God. If you are a child of the Most High God, you are living to live again. And so we're going to talk about this topic tonight, and I look forward, and we welcome Elder Heath again to our program, and we'll allow her to be able to chime into our studio momentarily. But before we do, we want to go ahead and go to the throne of grace in prayer, share a song that will usher in the presence of our God, and then we will go ahead with our program in welcoming Elder Heath. So at this time, we're going to ask Pastor Jasper Whitehurst if he would lead us to God's throne in prayer. Would everyone bow your heads, please?
Heavenly Father, Lord, we praise your holy name, Lord. We thank you, Lord, for this day, this opportunity to hear thy word, Father, Lord. We pray, Heavenly Father, that you would resonate in our hearts and our minds, our spirit, Lord. Renew our minds, strengthen our hearts, Father, and stay on fire for the things of God, Lord. For this gospel of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ must be preached to all people, to all nations, to all continents, Lord, on the face of this earth, Father. We pray we do our part, Lord, to take your word forth, Lord, today.
Yes.
Set fire to your hearts, Father, to do what you called to do, Father, to advance the kingdom of God here on this earth. Let thine will be done to this day, we pray. In Jesus' name, we pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen. At this time, we're going to have a song of praise and inspiration for you, and it is entitled, Mercy Me, Sings, I Can Only Imagine. Listen and be blessed.
I can only imagine what it will be like when I walk by your side. I can only imagine what my eyes will see when your face is before me. I can only imagine. Surrounded by your glory, what will my heart feel? Will I dance for you, Jesus, or in awe of you be still? Will I stand in your presence, or to my knees will I fall? Will I sing hallelujah? Will I be able to speak at all? I can only I can only imagine. I can only imagine when that day comes and I find myself standing in the sun. I can only imagine when all I would do is forever, forever worship you. Only imagine, yeah. I can only imagine. Surrounded by your glory, what will my can only imagine when all I would do is forever, forever worship you. I can only imagine.
Hallelujah, hallelujah, amen, amen, amen. Well, I would like to present to some and introduce to others Elder Lucy Heath. We had the opportunity of and the pleasure and blessing of meeting Elder Heath and she was one of our Sunday school teachers and trainers for ministers. She is a woman that has such a heart for the things of God and a woman that enjoys and the being able to bless others to be taught of the things of God. And she's well learned, well knowledgeable. Elder Heath is a native of Wilmington, Delaware, and presently she resides in Lithonia, Georgia. She is a member of Light of the World Christian Tabernacle International in Stockbridge, Georgia, where Archbishop Ruth W. Smith is the co-founder. Elder Heath served as the associate pastor of the First Christian Church in Rockford, Illinois, under the tutelage of Reverend Dr. D.W. Heath. Her longing for truth and a deeper understanding of God's word led her to Bible college, to the Bible college at the age of 39. Elder Heath received her associate's degree in pastoral studies from Christian Life Bible College in Mount Prospect, Illinois. After much testing in the faith, she went on to complete her studies at Beulah Heights Bible University in Atlanta, Georgia, and received a BA in Christian education. During those years, Minister Heath had the honor of being entered into Who's Who among students in American universities and colleges. Working as a Christian educator in Georgia, Miss Lucy, as she is affectionately known, returned to school and completed her Master's of Arts in Biblical Theological Studies at Luther Rice Seminary in Lithonia, Georgia. She has also earned a Certificate of Completion in Advanced Short-Term Mission, a Certificate of Training from the American Chaplaincy Training School in the area of prison ministry. Heath has shared the perfecting word in the United States, Europe, Mexico, Central and South America, and the continent of Africa, praise God. The gospel is preached in such a powerful way. The anointing of the word is open to the hearer and touches the inner man. Her theme in life is, I refuse to be discouraged. And it has lifted many as they see her walk and live it in her daily life. Heath has been an entrepreneur and is a licensed business owner. She is also a noted author of Christian romance novels, which hopefully, prayerfully, at some point we'll have her to come back and talk about her book. A number of honors and awards have been bestowed upon her. But the greatest to Elder Heath is the honor that one day God chose her. She was licensed by the Christian Church of the District of Columbia in 1993 and received worldwide ordination in April of 2001. Elder Heath has worked diligently in the church for the past 50 years and look forward to serving the Lord for a lifetime. Seasons of Purpose listening audience, it is with my great pleasure to bless you to be able to hear none other than Elder Lucy Heath. Praise God. Elder Heath, are you there? Go ahead and press one on your dial pad. Ah,
yes,
praise
I am.
The Lord.
Amen.
Thank you so much. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
The microphone, praise God, is yours. Go right ahead, please.
Thank you so very much, Pastor Jasper and Constance Whitehurst. Thank you. It is such a pleasure to join you on Seasons of Purpose Blog Talk this evening. Hello, everyone out there. Thank you. It's such an honor. Amen. We're going to jump right in to what we have. Actually, with all that introduction, I felt like I had to go back and get another message. I don't know. Something a little bit different. My God, I guess this one will do. But let me first start off with a disclaimer, because as she said, I am a minister, studier of the word. The disclaimer is I am not a psychiatrist, nor am I a grief counselor. What I'm bringing to you today or this evening are what I believe are some of the constructs and principles found in the Bible, whereas they
Amen.
May strongly give examples of how those who trust in God should conduct themselves in the matters of mourning and grief, they are not laws or commandments. Amen? Amen. So,
Amen.
Yes, and that was a license ordination was in for the church, the Disciples of Christ. I should have clarified that, but amen. So this all kind of started, pastors, when I was studying in the book of Romans and doing just little things probably catch my ear and eye gate that others just kind of, float over it. And it's not that it wasn't understandable. But in Romans chapter 2, getting near the end of it, in chapter 2, verses 23 and 24, a scripture, something said that Paul said, jumped out to me. And I started to, paraphrase it, that you who know the word of God, do you honor God? You think you're honoring him by not keeping his word? But so I went to copy it, and it says, you who make your boast of the word of God or the law, you dishonor God by breaking it yourself. As it is written, for the name of God is blasphemed among the Gentiles, or in other words, the unbelievers, through you. It's blasphemed because of your doings. And I was kind of taken back. I was like, what? And Paul here, as he often did in Romans, he quoted from Psalms and Isaiah, but this particular one, he quoted Isaiah 52, 5, and the latter part of the verse saying, which says, you blaspheme the name of the God. You know, God was saying, you do it all day long. And I'm just like, oh, boy, and such little things. And because of this time and season, not just America, but other countries are going through such grief and mourning with the death and the passing away of family members, friends, loved ones. We see in the news every day, actors, and the pandemic, it has no age limit. So children, middle-aged people, older people, and we are experiencing a lot of grief and mourning. There's death, and there's been some in my family over the last year and a half. I lost my sister, and then after that, a nephew who is a minister, he and his wife, and they have six children. And then after that, a mentor that I knew, Elder Hayes. And so, there it's been affecting all of us. I don't think any of us are without it. So I want to go to first the definition of what the Collegiate Dictionary says of what grief is. And grief, it says, is a deep, poignant distress caused by or related to bereavement that we can agree on, to feel grief or a deep inward sorrow. So grief is talking about an inward sorrow, that you grieve and no one necessarily can grieve for you. So I said, well, let me see, is there a difference in my mourning? So to mourn is to feel or show expressions of grief. Amen? To show the customary signs as, and this where people will know you are mourning, and different countries and places may have different customs. So some of these customs are wearing black clothing, maybe a black armband. I know the military would do that, a black armband, you know, or maybe, I don't think they do it so much today, and they may, a black wreath on the door. These outward showings let people know that you're mourning, but you're grieving inside. So a time when personal grief is shown, that's mourning. It's an outward showing of an inward grief. And even in the Bible, we see that people hired mourners. And they would, you know, they would walk ahead and mourn and weep. But you see, the mourning, it didn't, the outward showing, it didn't, like, go on continuously. It would be for a certain amount of time. And then you were left alone with your grief. So we understand that everyone is not at the same level of bereavement, but nonetheless, God's word should still apply to wherever you are in your mourning or in your grief. And as Christians, I wanted to just reiterate that we are speaking of those Christians using this social media. Are we, like you say, saying the right or correct thing or using the word of God? And the scripture Roman, it was Paul was talking about, you believe in it and you boast in it, but are you doing it? Are you applying it? Are you saying it? Are you showing it? So we have our definitions of grief and mourning. And in the Bible, it does tell us. It said, you know what? We are encouraged to rejoice with those who rejoice and to mourn with those who mourn. That's Romans 12:15. Examples in the Bible. Now, what I'm going to do is give you these examples in the Bible of public mourning and then a private mourning and or grief. So I know a lot of people probably didn't recognize this was in there, and it depends on how strategically you want to apply it today. But it is part of what I want to explain, having given the definition of mourning being an outward showing, but it does not go on forever. So in Deuteronomy 34, chapter 34, verse 8, this is where Moses, he's died or gone. The Lord took him up into the mountain. And so they're grieving this loss or this death of Moses. And so they're not moving. They're where he left them. And the Israelites, the Hebrew people, they're grieving over Moses. And guess what? The word says, and it says, they grieved for Moses 30 days. 30 days until the time of weeping or public mourning was over. There was a time set for public display of grieving and weeping over the death of someone. And I know I said, well, I know we're not all at the same level and whatever, but I know that mourning is a little different from grief. You'll have that grief. But so now we see there was a time set for them to mourn. Some say mourn, and then it started off saying they grieved, or another say they mourned for Moses. And until this set time of public showing was over, and then they had to get up and move. Now, the other one is the private grief mourning. sort of thing, and that's going to 2 Samuel. You know, we're talking about David the king. When he was in grief, the prophet came and told him that after his sin with Bathsheba and she was pregnant, and David even had the woman's husband killed on the front line, and now she was going to have this baby. And so the prophet told him that this child, you know, will not live. That so, but anyway, hoping against hope, David, he was grieved. He was mourning. 2 Samuel 12, 15 through 23 is where you find this. And so David, his attendants were even afraid to approach him. He was crying. He was stripped in sackcloth and throwing dirt on his head and ash. He didn't eat. He was weeping, eyes, face swollen and eyes. And the attendants say, oh, my God. When they found out that the child had died, they talked to each other, and they said, if he acts like this when the child was living, what's going to happen if we tell him the child has died, you know? And so this is just my imagination that I don't know. One attendant was probably said, well, you go tell him. And then another probably said, no, you go tell him. You've been his attendant longer. Well, I don't want to tell him. But whoever told him, they were so surprised at his reaction. The word says that David no longer fasted. He no longer wept when he knew the child was dead. It goes on to say he knew that the child would never come back to him. But one day he would go to be where he was. Mm-hmm. I was like, Oh, did it say that? So he stopped the fasting and weeping, the outward showing of this mourning, because he knew, and it said that he got up, he washed his face and his clothes, he did his hair, and he called for something to eat. And I believe, now this isn't theology, it's just heathology, if you would call it that, I believe that this denotes the precedent or the principle that we see in the New Testament. I think King David kind of set this up for us, that I believe that this is where this came in 1 Thessalonians 4:13. When you read 1 Thessalonians 4:13, it says, brothers, we do not want you to be ignorant about those who fall asleep, those who die, or to grieve like the rest of men who have no hope. I think this David showed an example of that. He had the hope that one day that he would go to where his son was. He got up, he stopped grieving, and he just changed everything to show that he trusted that God would allow him, you know, to maybe go to that child again. That's what he believed. But the hope was in Christ, and the hope was in the word of God that was in him. Amen? So what is social media? The Facebook, TikTok, Instagram, Twitter, YouTube. So we do post. I mean, that's the means of communication today. And we post, well, a little bit of everything, too much, but Christians are right in there, boy, swinging heavily. So we speak of our loved ones who died in Christ. These are the saints. As we talk about them the same way as non-believers do, and when we are posting on social media, as if we have no hope for actually what the Bible say they have now become or what they are. So what does the word of God say about those who die in Christ? Amen. One is in 2 Corinthians 5:8. It says, we are confident that to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. Oh, I heard that. Amen. Amen. And 2 Corinthians 5:1 says, for we know that when this earthly body or tent we live in is taken down, we have a house in heaven, an eternal body made for us by this a God himself and not by human hands. Why?
Amen.
Because God doesn't need man's seed to make an eternal body. How can he? Okay, he's making this. I mean, God himself is making a body eternal in the heaven, and he can't use man's seed. Why? Because no flesh shall enter heaven. And I know this may be a little heavy, and I don't want anyone to take offense or be taken back by, you know, this. I'm reading what the word says. And it also says in the resurrection, and I think this is where sometimes people get the sayings that I'm going to say that they call people who are dead. In the resurrection, they, now this is talking about the they is the departed saints. Neither marry nor are given in marriage. They will be like or likened to, this is a simile, the angels of God who do not reproduce. It's just backing up the scripture that's saying that when the saints depart and go to heaven, they won't be the flesh of any parents that were here on earth. Because the word said, 2 Corinthians 5:1, that God himself has a eternal body waiting in the heavens to house the spirit man that's coming. And so it's not saying that they will be angels because, you know, angels don't reproduce. So no flesh enters heaven. The Lord said, truly, truly, I tell you, no one can enter the kingdom of God unless he is born of water and spirit. So flesh is born of flesh and spirit is born of spirit. Amen? And I'm going to move on here because it's just a little bit more and I want to give opportunity for anything that may come afterwards. What are some of the things we say and post that make the word of God become null and void? When he said, you blaspheme me all the day long because, you know, you don't even believe yourself what is written or what is said. Here are some of the things. Well, let me say this statement first. I know my pastor, my bishop, earlier in January in giving a lesson, one of the things that she said was, when you only talk about your feelings, you will mess up the opportunity for the word of God to be used. Jesus indeed had feelings, but he didn't just speak off the cuff. When he wanted to honor God, he always said the word, and he used it is written. It is written. So that's why I'm giving you things that are written. So here we are. These are some of the things we may say or post on social media about our loved ones that could need a little tweaking with the word of God. Here's one. Oh, I know he's looking down on me. I know she's looking down on us, and I could just feel her looking down from heaven. And just taking care of me. I was like, oh, okay. They're in heaven. They're worshiping God around the great throne and the robes are washed white and the blood of the Lamb. And now they have received crowns. But what? They're going to turn around and turn their back on worshiping God and being around the throne and just say, wait a minute, I have to look down on my loved ones? I don't know. I'm going to figure that out in a minute. But here's what Luke 9, 59 through 62 says about those who, you know, look back or look down. And I'm going to read from the King James here. It's at verse 59, Luke 9. And he said unto another, follow me. But he said, Lord, suffer me first to go and bury my father. Jesus said unto him, let the dead bury their dead, but go thou and preach the kingdom of God. And another said unto him, Lord, I will follow thee, but let me first go bid my farewell, to my home and to my household. And Jesus said to him, no man, and this is important, no man having put his hand to the plow and looking back is fit for the kingdom of God. I was like, whoa, wow, wait a minute. If this earthly people were talking about looking back, and he was saying, yeah, you go do it, but you are not fit to do kingdom work if you're going to keep looking back. How much more would that apply to our saints and loved ones who have gone to glory if we believe they have, and we keep telling people that they're looking back down on us, this sinful world? That's just me. Like I say, I really can't fathom that. But then, again, they have their, I don't know if I would want to chance my crown of glory by doing that. Now, the other things we will say, and you've heard them and maybe seen them posted, oh, they're an angel now. Well, this doesn't tell me that they become angels. I know we may misconstrue this thing. They are like those. But that's just to explain that now they're in heaven, all that fleshy body is gone, that they'll be like angels who never had a husband, never had a sister, never had a brother, never married or reproduced. But they'll say, oh, they're an angel now. But in essence, they are, housed in this eternal body, not made by hand, that God himself is going to make. And anyway, I don't know if that when everybody who dies, or at least the saints that we believe to go to heaven, if all of those became angels. I really couldn't find where God created any more angels. We know that Lucifer, when he was kicked out of heaven, he took a third of them. But I can't see where God said, well, a third of the angel is gone, angels are gone. I think that I better create some more. No, what he created from the beginning. They are eternal beings. So if you don't see where God has created more angels, or if he says these dead ones, loved ones, saints will become angels, we shouldn't, mislead people saying that. And they also would say, well, a movie I was watching over the holidays said that they were stars in the heaven. One little girl was lost a mommy, was asking daddy, where's mommy? Oh, she's one of the stars in the heaven. And so which one is she? You see that brightest star up there? That's mama shining her light down. Well, he was pointing to the North Star. I was like, stop lying. Stop telling people. But I know that's Hollywood, and I know that's, movie making and filmmaking, but we are saying the same things. And this is the last example. And I'm sure those who are listening can think of more things they've seen posted. Happy birthday in heaven. Happy heavenly birthday. Well, if you're talking about celebrating the day that they had a birthday here, maybe we should not say, happy birthday in heaven, because I don't know, of trillions and billions upon millions of people, saints who have died, I can't see heaven stopping and celebrating each of their birthdays. I think the only one we're celebrating when we get there is Jesus himself, the Lord God. So these are just some of the things we say we don't recognize, that maybe we have an opportunity to not make the word of God null and void, that we don't grieve and mourn and act and say things like those who do not believe. So here's one of the things that I will differentiate. Well, before I do that, let me just say this. I'm going to use about maybe five more minutes. I heard one person say, and this was such a great quote, I don't even think he realized that he was saying it. Well, things people say affect people in different ways. And he said, a simple change can change the way that sinners look at the church. I was like, wow, that's profound. And I think that's what kind of led me towards this. Just a simple change can change the way that sinners look at the church. The more you promote and share your grief, the longer it remains with you. Now, we have established that there should be or has been, in the word, a set time for public mourning. We have also established that there is no set time for private grieving, that you can, one person can be grieving longer than others, although, like I say, I'm not a grief counselor or psychologist or anything, psychiatrist, although prolonged grief can be unhealthy and it can cause some other mental problems, even physical, if you prolong too long. I've seen some people on social media post something, and I was just like, man, they're still, oh, and not that they don't miss someone. They're posting their feelings and about how they feel about a person, and it is so heavy and so hurting and so strong, you would think that this person just, you know, passed away a month, 6 months, a year. They have been dead for 12 years, and they have not moved past this heaviness. So I'm, you know, that's just one of the things I see. And then we have to know that there is no set time for remembering. Now we are replacing a word that we can use. We can use the word remember. There's no set time. You can just remember someone. But we want to rejoice when you rejoice, you know, and grieve or mourn when there is a time for mourning. Here are some of the statements we can use to maybe replace the ones if we have been kind of in this position of posting these things. And I must say, even with the death and the grieving in my family, I commend them because they have not gone to social media to air misconceptions, you know. And so they have, you know, left encouraging and uplifting things, and I appreciate that so much. Number one, you can say, and if you post the picture or whoever, remembering, and then name the person's name, today who will receive their crown of glory. Remembering Auntie, you know, Josetta, remembering Uncle Felix, who will receive his crown of glory, and this is maybe for more recent, you know, deaths or just right away, and then a simple change. Or you're not going to write out a scripture or a text. You're just going to say 1 Peter 5:4. You got one line, and then you're going to put the Bible quote, write 1 Peter 5:4. They're going to be wondering, what in the world, especially if it's the unsaved, the unchurched, now you're sharing your grief, you're saying your feelings, but then you're using the word of God to draw them, and you're not misquoting or saying what scripture doesn't say about your dead. Secondly, here's one. Great is, and put in, I have blanks and just put name. Great is my so-and-so, my son, or my departed husband or departed wife. Great is the reward in heaven. The picture, and they passed away, and you're saying, great is their reward in heaven. And then after that period, Matthew 5:12. That's all you're going to put. I mean, not that when I'm saying all you're going to put, you can write other things, but not non-truths. But if you put a scripture text, you're going to cause people to say, well, what in the world does Matthew 5:12 say? You know, but you're actually saying it. Rejoicing that whatever the person's name is, his name or her name is written in the book of life. And I guess I guarantee you some unbeliever or non-believer or someone from a cult or a religion, what are they going to say? Their name is written in the book of life. You got Philippians 4:3. Philippians 4:3. These are just suggestions coming from my part rather than calling them, you know, things that they are not, that's not biblically true. Here's the last one. Remembering whoever the loved one is today who is enjoying the gift of God, which is eternal life in Jesus Christ. You're witnessing now for the church. You're witnessing for yourself. They say, oh, this is a Christian person. You're witnessing for the person who died. And if you put that, something like that, it doesn't have to be the exact words. And then you're going to just post this little thing, Romans 6:23. Romans 6:23. So this is just a little thing on using social media to share your grief. And saying things that are more inclined to be biblically true, but you're getting scripture in. You're honoring the person that has passed away. You're not saying, you know, there's something that they're not, but you're honoring God with his word, and it's also a one-liner good witness and something out there for them to grab onto, a scripture text. Otherwise, you could just say, happy heavenly birthday, or I know my mama's looking down on me, she died, so and so and so and so. Plus the fact you can put the death date, you know, remembering this person or missing so and so that now, what, has their crown of glory or something like that. Amen. I'm going to turn it back over to you, pastors.
Amen. We thank you for sharing certainly that word and that food for thought, because we do need to be mindful of the things that we say
and
how, yes, say and do, and how it is presented, and especially how it is presented when we share with the public, when we share with those that may not be aware, because we are held accountable and responsible for the words that we say as we witness to the things of God. And just to kind of touch upon some of the things that you have shared in your presentation, Elder Keith, when we change the word of God itself, we know that the word of God tells us that his word goes forth and it does not return void, but it accomplishes that for which it has been sent and purposed to accomplish. The word of God only becomes null and void. The scripture tells us in Mark 7:13 that thus you nullify the word of God by your tradition that you have handed down. And so when we begin to speak those things out of tradition, and this is what many of the statements that you were talking about, it is because people have followed tradition of hearing these. And so it sounds like something that, okay, I can apply in this particular situation, but we are held responsible for the words that come forth out of our mouth. And the word of God tells us that we are not to change his word, not by one jot or tittle. No, God's word is to remain as he has written it and as it has been inspired by the Holy Spirit of God. So he doesn't need any help, in changing it. No, we are to go back to scripture. We're to quote the word of God and line our words up with his word. It doesn't work the other way around. He doesn't line his word up with our word. No.
Amen.
We are to line our words up, praise God, with the word of God. And even where death and grieving are concerned, I wanted to share the scripture that in chapter 14, John chapter 14, verses 1 through 3, that tells us the position that we should take as believers in Jesus Christ regarding death and even grieving. It says, let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. For in my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, and this is Jesus Christ speaking, if it were not so, I would not have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. That also tells us, blessed are those, Matthew 5 and 4, blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. See, we're not to grieve, as Elder Heath said in sharing the scripture, as one that has no hope. No, we're not. We are to, first of all, as I shared at the onset of the program, we are living to live again. There is going to come a day, praise God. We as believers, we are aware and should know that this place is not our home. Hallelujah. No, it's not. We are just those that are merely, we're here in the world, but we're not of the world. We're passing through. Hello? This is not
Amen.
Our home.
Yes.
The word of God tells us that there's going to come a day when the eastern sky is going to open, and we all will be able to see the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, and he will return back and gather his children home.
Amen.
All right? That's what the word of God tells us. That was
Hallelujah.
What we have to look forward to. And those that the dead in Christ shall arise first. And those that remain, hallelujah, shall be caught up,
uh-huh.
and forever we shall be with the Lord.
Amen.
That's what we have as believers in Jesus Christ. That in that lies our hope.
Amen.
And that lies our hope. And so I wanted to elaborate on everything that you said and then share that so that we don't have to grieve like a world that without hope. We know if you are a child of the Most High God and you study his word to show yourself approved, then you also know that you know that you know, as Elder Heath shared early on, that absent from the body, hallelujah, is present with the Lord.
Amen.
We're going to go ahead and take the last few minutes of the program and open our lines up. We have, and if you want to share in on this discussion, please go ahead and press 1 on your dial pad. If you have questions for Elder Heath, I'm sure she will be welcome your questions.
Yeah.
Press 1 on your dial pad if you'd like to comment, and we will dispatch you into the studio. Is there anyone tonight that would like to share in this discussion? Praise God. Hallelujah. Okay, thank you, Jesus. Yes, we have caller. Your last 4 digits are 0400, and those also, too, we're going to get to every question, so just be patient with us, praise God. Go ahead, caller, 0400. Mother Pat,
yes.
Go right ahead, please.
I tell you, I enjoyed the message. The information that Elder Heath brought forth. And I'm so glad she flagged these things by how people put things on social media, and it annuls the word of God if we are believers. Now, when she was talking about grieving, I remember when I was in nursing school, we had some psychiatrist book, whatever, and they were saying that if you grieve more than 2 years, you need professional help. 2 years. I said, now, that's a mighty long time. You know, because I also would be wondering, why are you grieving? You didn't do what you were supposed to. I mean, that long. I'm not saying don't grieve. Why are you grieving so long? Is it something that you didn't deal with while they were here? and now you're grieving because I didn't do what I should have done when I was supposed to do it. That's why, I mean, that's my take on it. But when you have done all that you can for your loved one, you should be happy out of their suffering and going on, like you say, to receive that reward. So, to the saints, grieve your little short time. What did they say, 30 days? Grieve your little short time, go on.
And that was for the mourning, the outward mourning, 30 days.
The outward mourning, 30 days. But don't have the grievance.
Grief lasts longer, like you said, yes.
Yeah. But then you're going to have some help if you go too long because it bring on depression, may bring on suicide, spirits, all kind of things that the enemy like to take you out of. You know what I'm saying? To take you out with those things. Because sometimes people get so depressed, they feel like they can't live no longer. And why are you so depressed? Yeah. You grieving too long over something that you can't change.
Yes.
So
anyway,
that's my take. And that was a very good word. I took my little notes and stuff, but, you know, once I write it, it get cold, okay? All right. I enjoyed that, LED. That was very good. Very good.
Yeah.
Amen. Well,
praise God.
Amen.
Thank you, Mother Pat, for your comments. Caller 9539. Caller 9539. Go right ahead, please.
Good evening. This is Louvain Demps, Evangelist Demps. God bless you, Lucy Heath.
God bless you.
And she was, when I was at the church where I just got so excited. Because I get a chance to know that my friend is still teaching and ministering, not just in word, but in deed. There are so many times that our loved ones or friends or whatever have gone on to be with the Lord. We hope and pray, you know, but the thing is that when somebody passes away that we love or that we know, actually we're not thinking about scripture. We're thinking on what should I say to make them feel better.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that this series that you brought forth tonight is letting us know, you know, a better way mm-hmm. to help heal. Because when we lose our loved ones and our friends, we, you know, sometimes we just, all we want to do is just comfort them. And we get a picture in mind, like they got their wings and everything, for pictures that we have seen and, you know, and things that we imagine in our mind what it would be like instead of going right to the scriptures. Because number one, when you go to the scriptures, you have to know the scriptures. You can't just say, well, I heard that, you know, but the thing about it, the thing about it is that during that time of loss, you don't sometimes know what to say. There are people, we are believers, but we kind of want them to feel better, so we say what comes up in our mind. But right now, you know, Elder Heath, you have brought it to our attention, that there is a better way. And change comes through knowledge, and knowledge from God.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and it's complete, and it has more healing than our own thoughts and imaginations and whatever. So when you're dealing with grief and you're dealing with things that hurt so deeply that you have no way to heal, or, you know, but God is a healer.
Yes.
And the word of God, like when it said he sent his word and they were healed.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Amen.
You know, so a lot of times, you know, instead of us just saying how we just kind of feel or how we think it should be, we do need to turn to the word of God. And I never thought of it that way. I've said things that myself that that I wanted to bring comfort to the families and stuff like that, but I never thought about writing down the scriptures. So thank you. God bless you.
Amen. Praise God. Praise God. Thank you so much for your comments and sharing. Yes, the word of God tells us, you know, that my people perish for lack of knowledge. And so thank God for those like Elder Heath that has a platform of being able to share the word of God, even on topics such as this that could pose somewhat, as I shared, controversy. But nevertheless, God's word has something to say about everything. Hallelujah. We're going to, let's see, caller. Your last four digits are 1155. 1155. Go right ahead, please.
Blessings, blessings. This is Bishop Bays from Newark, Delaware. I wanted to say I thoroughly enjoyed the teachings of the word of the Lord that went forth tonight. We are living in a day where there has been much departure, some COVID, some just other illnesses, you know. But with the word of God, that being said, with the word of God, we all, I think, still have to understand that knowledge is progressive. As we go, we grow. And so knowledge that we might didn't know before, we are coming into a greater knowledge and a greater awareness from the word of the Lord. And basically just wanted to say thank you so much for a beautiful presentation, and that the word of the Lord would just go out and really edify, and that the Lord Jesus Christ himself would be glorified in the teachings. Be forever blessed.
Amen.
Amen.
Yeah,
thank
you, Bishop.
Praise God for you, and thank you for sharing that. Hallelujah. Is there anyone else? We go ahead and you can press one, as I said, on your dial pad. We thank God for Elder Heath tonight. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
We thank God for sharing the word in this topic. Hallelujah. We want to make sure to go ahead and give the offering for salvation, so that if there is anyone on the line tonight that does not know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, then tonight is your opportunity. Romans 10, 9, and 10 tells us that if you but confess with your mouth and believe in your heart upon the Lord Jesus and know that God has raised him from the dead, then you shall be saved. And so we give you the opportunity to do that now. The word also tells us that today is the day of salvation. Don't wait. Don't wait. There is an urgency. Yes, it is, in receiving the Lord as Lord and Savior. And so all you have to do is just pray a simple prayer that says, Lord, I confess my sins. I ask you to come into my life and cleanse me of my sins, cleanse me of all unrighteousness. I believe, Lord Jesus, that you are the Son of the living God, and I believe that you lived, died, and was resurrected for me. And if you prayed but that simple prayer, we welcome you into the body of Christ and into the kingdom of God. And your name has been written, praise God,
Amen.
In the Lamb's Book of Life.
Hallelujah.
And that means that if you would pass from this life to eternal life tonight, praise the Lord, your salvation in Jesus Christ has rendered you everlasting life. And so we give God all the praise and honor and glory. If there are those that have given their life to the Lord tonight, the Word of God tells us that the angels in heaven are rejoicing over one that turns his life or turns her life and gives her life, his or her life, to the Lord. So we thank God for you. We're going to go ahead. Elder Heath, I'm going to ask if you would close us out tonight in prayer, praise God. And we want to go ahead and allow for that. Are you still there, Elder Heath?
Yes, I dialed. I had to push one on the dial.
Okay.
Yes.
All right. No problem.
Am I with you?
If you would, please. Yes, I can hear you. Can you hear me?
Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am. Mm-hmm.
Yes, ma'am. Would you please go ahead and close us out in prayer tonight?
Amen, amen. Adding this, that into 1 Thessalonians 4:16-18, as the bishop said, and as the caller, Mother Pat, and Minister Damps said, that we are to comfort one another with these words, you know, and it's talking about those who die and those that are saints, you know, and we do want to offer those words of comfort. And then those that remain, it said that we'll be caught up in the clouds and we will, you know, like you said, you quoted, be with the Lord forever. And so, Father, we just come to you right now in a blessed in the name of Jesus Christ, Jesus, who is our hope. Oh, God, we thank you so very much, Holly, for being our own. We thank you for this opportunity on this social media, Father, on this blog talk, on Seasons of Purpose with Pastor Jasper and Constance Whitehurst. We thank you for this opportunity, Father, to share your word. We ask you to bless all of those who are yet in grief and yet in mourning. Father, we thank you that we rejoice with them, God. We mourn with them, Father, in the name of Jesus. Oh, we just thank you for your mercies. We thank you that you are Jesus. We thank you that you've sent a comforter, God, hallelujah, that we can turn to. And we thank you and we bless your name. Bless every hearer tonight. Bless everyone who has taken anything away from this in Jesus' name. Now to the King eternal, immortal, invisible, the only wise God, be honor, glory, and dominion forever and ever. Amen.
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 Praise God. And with that, praise the Lord. We thank God for each of you. We pray that you go forth and have an awesome week. And to God be all the glory. Have a blessed night.
Amen.
We love you. God bless.
Thank you. for no reason that he shed his blood. Coming soon, you better be believing.
Our God is an awesome God.
In the void of the night,
our God is an awesome God.
He spoke into the darkness and created the light.
Our God is an awesome God.
Judgment and wrath he poured out on Sodom. Mercy and grace he gave us at the cross. Hope that you have not too quickly forgotten that our God is an awesome God.
Awesome. Come on, stand on your feet, everybody. If you know he's awesome, you're in awe of his grace. You're in awe of his goodness. You're in awe of his mercy. You're in awe of his provision. He's great and he's greatly to be praised. Hallelujah. Come on, everybody, lift your hands as we lift our voices. Come on, say, my God is awesome. Come on, say, he can move mountains.
He can move mountains.
Keep me in the valley.
Keep me in the valley.
Come on, say it. Hide me from the rain.
Hide me from the rain.
That's it. My God is awesome.
My God is awesome.
Come on. Heals me when I'm broken.
Heals me when I'm broken.
Strength where I've been weakened.
Where I've been weakened.
Forever he'll reign.
Forever he will reign.
Come on, you got it. My God is awesome. Come on, say, he can move mountains.
He can move mountains.
Keep me in the valley.
Keep me in the valley.
Hide me from the rain. Has he ever covered you? Come on, my God is awesome.
My God is awesome.
Heals me when I'm broken.
Heals me when I'm broken.
Strength where I've been weakened.
Where I've been weakened.
Forever he'll reign.
Forever
one word, come on, everybody. My God. Somebody lift your voice.
Awesome.
If you know he's been good, say it.
Awesome.
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 Say, my God.
My God is awesome.
Come on, if you know he's been good, do you testify?
Awesome.
Somebody ought to lift your voice.
Awesome.
He's awesome.
Awesome.
Come on. My God.
My God.
Verse 2. Savior of the whole world.
Giver of salvation.
Giver of salvation.
By his stripes,
I'm healed. Yeah, my God is awesome.
God is
listen,
awesome.
Today I am forgiven.
Today I am forgiven.
His grace is why
grace
I'm living.
Is why I'm living.
Somebody ought to praise His holy name. Come on, you say, my God. Come on, awesome. Why He's awesome, you say. He's mighty.
He's mighty.
He's mighty.
He's mighty.
He's mighty.
Awesome.
Somebody ought to lift your voice and celebrate. If you know He's been good, you say. He's holy.
He's holy.
He's holy.
He's holy.
Awesome. Somebody ought to lift your voice and testify.
Every praise. praise him now. He's worthy of the praise. I don't care what you've been through.